heart. And it was coming up here. I didn't have a lot. I got up here and just everything started setting in. And I think God knew exactly what I needed to get through. And he didn't go above and beyond because he didn't think, you know, I wouldn't make it. But pray for me this morning. But I do have a song for us. It's called It's So Peaceful. This old world is full of hate and misery, and sometimes Satan stands and lashes out at me. But with Jesus by my side, I am satisfied. And it's so peaceful in the arms of my Lord. And it's so peaceful in the arms of my Lord. Anyway, did I mess that up? And it's, let me start that chorus again. And it's so peaceful in the arms of my Lord. In his presence I am sheltered from the storm. And it's so good to have his Spirit. And it's so good to have his Word. And it's so peaceful in the arms of my Lord. Now when it, we got the second verse starts now. When I come to the crossing of the tide, and I see old Jordan's waters deep and wide, well, that dark river I'll not fear, for my Jesus, he will be near. And it's so peaceful in the arms of my Lord. And it's so peaceful in the arms of my Lord. In his presence I am sheltered from the storm. And it's so good to have his Spirit. And it's so good to have his Word. And it's so peaceful in the arms of my Lord. For that all my life, I don't know how I, there must be some DayQuil in there getting in the way, but this world is, as a whole, is not good. It's full of sin, it's full of hate. People just want to hate just for the fun of it, it seems like. They want to find reasons to argue, they want to find reasons to tear you down, just for no other reason than what to them seems like the fun of it. And if we're not careful, we'll be right in the middle of it with them. That's not what the Lord wants. The Lord doesn't. God has never taught any kind of hate. He's all love. He's the love that he has for us and the love that he has for those that even aren't saved, he has a love for them that he brought Christ here to die for them, for me and them, and for everybody that's ever lived, ever. He brought them for them because of the love that he has. Like I said, I don't have a whole lot this morning. I kind of joked with my son. I was like, you might preach longer than I do this morning. I'm going to start in Romans chapter 8. I've just got one verse there that this week has been somewhat of a trying week for us. We've got kind of bad news here and there everywhere as we went to this, just moving forward, the job that, you know, we were pretty sure that Trina had, it kind of fell through because they didn't open up the spot that they thought they were going to get opened up, and it just kind of all fell apart at the end. And the houses that we've been looking at, it's just kind of, it seems that they kind of fall apart at the end. We're waiting for finances coming in here and finances coming here, and it's like we were kind of ahead of ourselves a little bit where we needed to be for finding the house, and it's just kind of, things are just falling apart a little bit. And I'm just, I don't know, I wouldn't say I'm in a tailspin or anything like that, but it's just kind of a letdown when you got your hopes up and you got things going and you're like, man, we've got a grip on this, and then suddenly it seems kind of falls apart. It kind of hurts a little bit. I just got one verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the calling according to his purpose. Now, I'm not going to act like anything that we've went through in the last week or two has been that overly bad, but we know that there are things that happen to people that are bad in our eyes. And as I look at it, even as a saved individual, as a God-called minister, as an ordained minister, I look at them and I'm like, I just don't understand how God can allow these terrible tragedies to happen. And I can't explain them. And I hear people talk, and I talk to people that online type things, that is, as we play games, and we talk a lot about God, and they know my stance and how I feel, and but they're just, I got one guy in particular that I think was like, how can you think God would allow these bad things to happen to the babies and to women and things like that? I'm like, I can't explain it. I have no explanation for it. But I can go to this verse and know that no matter what's going on, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. That makes me really think more than I've ever thought about it before. Is there kind of a converse to this? And you can say this in the positive sense, that, you know, if you love God, then good things will come. Can we automatically say that if you don't love God, then bad things are going to come? I don't think you can, what's that word? I'm not real good at words. I'm more of a math guy. I like numbers, but is it extrapolate? I don't know if you can take that from those words and take the opposite of them and say that that's true. As I like to do in math, if this is one thing, then the opposite has to be true. The second part is what I really got into even more as I looked at that, and that said, to them who are called according to his purpose. It's kind of very, very specific there about who all these good things are for. We have a calling upon us. If you've been saved by God, you have a calling. I don't know what your calling is. I have a hard enough time trying to figure out what my own calling is. On a day-to-day basis, we have things that we need to do. It may be as simple as pray for somebody. It may be read your word. It may be to call a friend. It may be very simple things. But we all have a calling, I believe, every day to move forward for God. And as we move forward and we are following God and we're owning up to our calling that God has for us, I think that's when we can really start to have that expectation that all things are going to work out for the good. But I know many times I don't land in my full calling. I don't always get to the point where I know that I am right in the middle with God, and me and him are together, and he's walking right with me, and I'm not ahead of him, and he's not behind me, and he's not ahead of me. We're right in tune. I don't get there enough. I want to be there. I love being in that spot. When me and God are just step for step, and we're like, hey, everything's going great, I know good things are going to happen when I get to that state. That takes a lot of work for me. It takes repentance. I like to think that I repent daily and everything is wiped clean and as we go day by day. But as I've kind of preached before, just getting in a little prayer and saying, I'm sorry, isn't going to cut it all the time. We need to get earnest in our hearts and ask for our sins to be forgiven and clean the slate between you and God. Because when that slate is clean, as we talk about when we are saved, that slate gets wiped clean and we are a new creature in God. And he's forgotten everything that we've done before, the sins that we had. The same thing happens every day, that I can actually repent to him of my shortcomings and my failures, and I can have him tell me I'm okay every day. Not that I get saved every day, that he is restoring my soul to the point where, just like when I was saved, that he wiped it clean. And it's good to do, because it feels good when you can talk to God and know that you're on good terms with God. But I look more into the, I'm going over to Proverbs chapter 3. And I find that this is probably more the problem that I have as I talk to people that ask these kind of questions, that why do these bad things happen and why did that. But trust in the Lord, chapter 3, verse 5, Proverbs 3, 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's hard enough to do in itself. With our sinful hearts that we have, that's hard enough to do. But then lean not unto thine own understanding. And in all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Lean not unto thine own understanding. I like to have things planned out. I like to know what's going to happen. We go on vacation or something like that. Usually, I like to know what's going to happen. If we're going to have the week and I'm going to go there, I may be lazy and might not do them, but I still like to know that I need to be here on this day. I need to be here on this day. I need to do this by this time. I need to have my deadlines. And I may push that deadline to the last second, but I at least like to know my deadlines. We live day by day, and sort of, I don't think it's maliciously, but we believe that our schedule is made by us. That we have things to do, that I'm, what's going to happen even the rest of this day, that, you know, I'm probably going to want a little food, I'm going to be driving home, and we have to schedule those things to know where we're going. But we need to be ready to know that God may need to change those. And be accepting of that. And the thing that we talk about a lot is following God. But sometimes we're going to be in states that we don't know what we're doing. We don't know where God's going yet. And we have to be okay with that. Not understanding exactly the reason or the why we're doing such things. But have the faith that our God is leading us in the right way. So as I go forth and I'm looking to the next week that I have, and I don't know, I know that I'm not guaranteed to be here next Sunday. I know that God could pull me home and that'd be fine with me, really. I've got some things I'd like to see still, but I think I'd be fine being in heaven by next Saturday or Sunday. Be happy being with God. That's always, in my mind, is always a possibility, but I don't really believe it necessarily that I'm going to, that something's going to happen. I think that I'm good. You know, we're going to be here next week. We need to be following with God, whatever he takes us to, whatever he wants us to do, wherever he wants us to go. Man in this world wants to understand everything, which takes out faith in a lot of parts. I have faith in God for things that I can't explain. I have faith in God that he created the world. I have faith that all the, as we go through every part of this Bible, I have faith that those are real things that he has given to me. And people say I'm simple. People say that I'm brainwashed because I believe this book. People say that I've just, you know, I'm just simple. You're just letting that book guide your life, and you don't really think for yourself. Then I have to think about that. I'm like, yeah, kind of. I don't want to think for myself. Because you know what my brain is? Full of lies, full of sin, full of deceit, full of leading me in the wrong direction. My brain leads me to my own understanding. We are told not to lean to that understanding. So as I go, I got told too many times I'm preaching to myself. As I look to the next part of the next steps that we go into, and the next house or the next whatever we have to figure out next, and I don't even know what the next thing is. Or as Trina starts going for different jobs here and there, and we look for houses that's got maybe a shop area for me to be able to work out of, and Trina says sometimes I'm just kind of lackadaisical. I don't even care. I care. I'm trying to let God lead. And sometimes I can kind of push it off to being lazy. that I'm like, well, God's going to take care of it. Just let him work. Well, do your part. God has blessed me with a wife that, you know, kind of, she knows me probably better than I know me. To know when I'm being lazy. To know when I'm being procrastinating. But I know that I don't worry, because I know God will take care of it. And the only way that I can say that and not have any doubts about it is because he's done it before. Think back in your life. How many times can you not explain some things that God took care of? There's been times that I've been, when we went through the liver transplant, and I didn't have a job, and we were trying to figure out how we're going to pay for the house and the cars, and Matt was going through school and how it all worked out, and just things popped up here and there that just worked. We had friends that took Matt, and we had money that came in from here and some of this. It was just amazing that it just worked, and I can't explain it. When we went to Africa to go see that, to visit Tom and Sarah, Trina was supposed to go with about, I think, 10 other people, just her. And one by one, they backed out. It was down to just Trina going. And I'm like, well, you're not going by yourself. And within a month's time, we had passports for me and Matt. We had our plane tickets paid for. We had everything ready to go within a month's time. We didn't have the money for that, but somehow it just worked. I can't say anything more than that's God taking care of it. Because that trip was just amazing to me. To be able to see God working in other countries and other communities and totally different from what we see on a daily basis. It was a wonderful thing for me to see. And I think God wanted me to see it. My son still has a Kenyan bracelet. I don't know if he can get it off anymore. It's been on there so long. But it affected him, and it means something to him. I believe God wanted us to go that trip, to see what we saw over there, to meet people, to meet the friends that we met over there, to see how they just long to find God. How I'd just love to see that here in America again. People that just want to find God. People that want to be in God's house. People that want to be near other people that know God. Whether it's in a dirt floor old schoolhouse that looked like it was out of the Wild West. I mean, that's what this schoolhouse looked like, dirt floors. I remember the old barn we had down in Scottsville, Kentucky, that had the little twist things that helped hold the doors shut. And we don't see those much anymore. You have latches and all this stuff. That's what they had on their doors, was just a little twisted piece of wood, and that would hold the door shut. And their toilets and bathroom facility was a hole in the ground that led off to another area, but it was so simple and so basic and so, what seemed to me, so rustic, and it would never fly here in America in most parts. But you know what they wanted? They wanted to see God. They wanted to see God in their church. They wanted to see God in their lives. They wanted to see God in their families. It's amazing when God takes care of you and takes control. So as we look at these hard times that come, we've all got them in our families. We've all got family members with medical problems. I think I can probably say that fairly easily without having to worry about being wrong, that we all have family members that we have worries about. We all have instances in our lives that that are happening that we might not know exactly what to even do about it. Trust in God. Do what you're supposed to do for God and let Him take care of His part. And all these things that we consider to be bad things sometimes work out for good. And it may be a case that you are training yourself, that you're getting yourself ready for something else. It may be that somebody has to go through a very hard, rocky time to prepare them for something in the future. Let God take care of it. What we need to do is repent and follow God. Let Him take care of it. And be okay with that. I don't know how many of us aren't good with that type of attitude, to be okay with, I don't know. I struggle with it sometimes. But if we're in where we need to be, we're following God, He says He'll take care of us. Promises it. And I've never seen Him lie yet. Told you I didn't have a whole lot this morning. Anything on anybody's heart before we would be dismissed?
This week be a productive week.